God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. What is the biggest sin you could commit? Now, that's a terrible question, and I don't want us to imagine that over much, but what is the worst sin you ever have committed? The fact of the matter is there is forgiveness, there is healing, there is restoration if you will come clean with God and other people perhaps who that sin has affected. But sometimes what we think of as the greatest sin may be well mistaken. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we find what many people think of as David's greatest sin. He had murdered Uriah. He had stolen Uriah's wife, a woman named Bathsheba. And he'd done this as a king. And then he'd been confronted by God's prophet Nathan, who pointed the finger of guilt at David and said, "You are the man. Thou art the man." David acknowledged his sin at this point and said, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now, there's a lot there. David had sinned against Bathsheba. David had certainly sinned against Uriah. But ultimately, David had sinned against God, something he acknowledges in Psalm 51. So what was David's greatest sin? Well, it's interesting. We yawn at adultery and we still have criminalized murder. Both of those are sins that begin, though, in the heart. In verse 9 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan says to David, the prophet says to the king, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" So you've belittled God. You've belittled God's commandment. "Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and hast taken his wife to be thy wife." So the sin actually is characterized as murder, first of all, and then adultery, second of all. Both of them are sins in God's sight. And at least one of those continued to be a criminal offense in most societies. So what was David's greatest sin? You know, sometimes people commit some sin that is socially shameful or has social consequence, and we think to ourselves, what were they thinking? Well, you do know, of course, that most sins, certainly sins like adultery, are sins you don't think about. They just happen. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You're thinking the wrong thing, and almost involuntarily, you end up committing some sin. Now, it may be some sin well shy of adultery, but we often ponder, what was this person thinking when they committed such a terrible sin? Well, can I tell you something? It may well be that criminal negligence or sinful carelessness is the greatest sin of which we are guilty. Look, how did David get to the point where he murdered a faithful man, a man named Uriah? Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, you see a progression. It ends with David murdering Uriah. You find that in 2 Samuel 11, verse 15. Before that, you find in verse 13 that David tries to get Uriah drunk. Uriah is brought back from the battlefield as a pretext for the child that Bathsheba is now expecting, David's child. He tries to make it appear as if it is Uriah and Bathsheba. And because Uriah is an honorable man and he does not want to go back to his house while his fellow soldiers are in the field fighting Israel's battles, he says, "I will not do this." And so David makes him drunk. Well, before that, as I've already alluded to, in verse 6, David sent for Uriah. Before that, he took her, that is Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. In verse 3, David sent and inquired after Bathsheba. Before that, he saw Bathsheba. Before that, in verse 1, the Bible famously says that at this time when kings go forth to battle, David tarried still at Jerusalem. So there's a progression. He tarries, he sees, he inquires, he takes. He then tries to cover up the sin and ends up murdering Uriah. Now look, so many of the things that David did before the adultery with Bathsheba weren't against the law of God per se. They weren't shameful per se. Now, all this had a devious big picture, but by themselves, bringing Uriah back from the battle and so on, none of these are in and of themselves sins. There's a really big one. If in 2 Samuel chapter 5, the Bible's talking about the establishment of David's kingdom, and the Bible mentions almost in passing that David took him more concubines and wives in Jerusalem. And you have to ask yourself, what is just one more Bathsheba to a man who has a whole harem? I mean, the clarity of the sin is muddied. It's made murky at the very least by having a harem. And the point is this: sometimes criminal negligence, sinful carelessness, is the greatest sin that we have in the heart. We see sin, we identify sin when it's something shameful, it's something that happens in the moment, and we're carried away with the moment, we do something we shouldn't do. But so many times there are willful, deliberate decisions that we make before that point of temptation that are not themselves sinful, but really are the perhaps the greatest crime. They are what leads to the sin that everyone sees. And so that makes a couple things important. Number one, it makes fences very important. David was in a bad place because there was no one that he could look to as his boss. He was the king. He had a harem. There were no fences. Once he crossed the fence of having more than one wife, then he crossed the fence of having concubines, then he crossed the fence of taking another man's wife. It really is murky where the real sin begins. Actually, it's all bad. It's all sin. But what I'm saying is that David was lulled into this great sin by knocking down fences along the way. Once the fence is broken, who is not going to wander? So fences are important. Attitudes are something else that are important. Attitudes are vital. There may be some law in the land. There may even be some institutional rule where you are, if you're at a school or some other place. But sometimes we don't stop to say, now, why is this rule here? You know, we can keep every rule in the book, even every law that God may, you know, we may think God has. But if we don't stop and think, what is actually behind this law? What is the heart of the law? Then we really haven't helped ourselves. There's no way that you can have a law against every possible vice that a person may have. So attitudes are very important. And then deliberation. You know, the deliberation of decisions that David made before the sin with Bathsheba, that is where the real level of evil, the real level of choice, the real level of thought, that's where it was. So this morning or this evening or whenever you may be listening to this, take a moment, stop, and think, what am I doing in my heart, in my mind, to protect me from the sins that would actually reveal themselves as such? It may well be that today the greatest sin in one's heart, in your heart or mine, is criminal negligence, sinful carelessness, and not taking heed to our way.